Good morning, church. Can you believe this? In the UP, what is it? It's going to be 50 degrees today? How come that happens every time I'm leaving town? That doesn't make sense. I love you, church. I love the people that step up to do some special things. And just to hear the worship team, our first worship team, that's for our singing team, step up. And to use a new technology, I know how uncomfortable it was, but just to see them step up and Gary to step up to play, I think that's truly amazing, and God has blessed us richly with that. The good news is I see some new faces today, and this is a time that we greet everybody in the name of the Lord. And so watch out, guys, if you're new today, because we're going to cometh upon you. So let's greet everybody in the name of the Lord. So that's my favorite part of the whole worship service. I guess maybe I don't get enough hugs. Maybe that's why. I love fruit. How many here love fruit? You know, there's just something about the smell of fruit, the texture of fruit, how fruit can be crisp or how it could be soft. Most particularly, I love red, delicious apples. How many here love apples? I think, you know, there are sometimes in the fall that when the apples become fresh, there's nothing more fun than being outside and grabbing a fresh, red, delicious apple and biting into it. Excuse me for a second. I'll turn off my mic so I won't offend you. Good stuff, although now I can't preach. I don't know what there is about fruit that draws us to it. Simple fruit like an orange or like a banana or like grapes. You'll eat that fast, won't you? And then there's pears. I know you guys love fruit here. Okay, I'll give you two. Here, Steve, you have some grapes, too. Oh, Warren's smiling here like he's...
All right.
There you go. Sure. Here's one. But not only is there something great about eating fruit, there's also something great about serving fruit. Fruit draws us because for any of us, it's natural, it's healthy, it's sweet, and has that aroma. Did you ever think that you could be used of God to give out fruit? Did you? Did you ever believe that you would be able to draw people with a special type of fruit? A type of fruit that only Christ can enable you and put that in your heart. How many people here believe that we were born to bear fruit? Absolutely. We're born to bear fruit, whether we're individuals or whether we're a body of believers like Grace Christian Fellowship. We're going to be in our scripture reading today is going to come from John chapter 15. You may turn to your Bibles. And we're going to talk about the subject of bearing fruit. To some of you, John 15 sounds really familiar because it's the chapter of the vine and the branches. I think it's most significant because in my Bible, when you go to John 15, what color is it? Red. Now, what does that mean? Jesus spoke of it. Which tells me, I better have a heads up on these verses because the man has spoken these words. So today, we're going to talk about how do we bear fruit? And what is God's will in our lives? And what is our purpose and destiny? So I call today's sermon, Clinging to Divine or Created to Bear Fruit. So let's go to John 15. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. But before you do this, turn to your neighbor and tell them how excited you are to study God's Word today. Go ahead, do that. I don't hear a lot of excitement. Let's say one more time. I'm excited. Well, let's not go that far, but. Okay, let's go to the Lord's Word here, and let's read from John 15, verse 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And you've given so much to this church and so much to this body of believers. Today, Lord, you're going to show us your purpose, your destiny. I ask, Lord, that you will use me as a spokesperson of the vine who gives us life. Lord, I just pray for your special anointing today so that your word will come out clear and crisp, and with it come the aroma of you, the aroma of love, joy, long-suffering. We ask, Lord, for your presence today and that you oversee this time of studying your word and that it may prosper our soul. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's kind of walk through these verses and let's try to take segments of it and see what it means to us, because this is one of the very important sermons that Jesus gave to his disciples. It was to change the world as he gave them their purpose and destiny. This started the change of the whole world. What was really the change in this, in verse 1 through 3, is Jesus uses the comparison of the vine and the branches to explain the connectedness to his disciples and what their purpose is. Their connectedness. He spells out pretty well. He says, I'm the vine. God is a gardener. He takes care of us and prunes us and makes us able to bear fruit. Many times in history, the vine, especially in biblical history, the vine has been referred to as the people of Israel. But this is a change, and Jesus knew that. He wanted to tell them, the nation of Israel has failed. And I'll tell you why the nation of Israel has failed. And to do that, I got to tell you, look at me. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And of course, the Father takes care of the true vine. And we are the branches. And what does a gardener do? He prunes. A gardener's job is to prune the plants so that it will bear fruit and grow. Don't just believe me. Let's go to Wikipedia, where everybody goes to, right? What's this? Pruning is a process of removing certain above ground elements from a plant. The process usually involves removal of diseased, non-productive, or otherwise unwanted portions from the plant. The purpose of pruning is to shape the plant by controlling or directing plant growth to maintain the health of the plant or to increase the yield or quality of flowers and fruits. Pruning isn't for God. Pruning is for us. Pruning is necessary for us so that he can fully use us. He can fully use us. Some scholars interpret the Greek word, it's called katharē, as meaning, which is for people use for a plant, for a prune, but also means cleanses. So he cuts off the branches and he also prunes or he cleanses. And what does that mean? He purifies us. He takes us out of the dirt. He shakes it off. He washes us up. That's what the gardener does. He takes away the unproductive portions of us. He cleanses us of our sins. He makes us holy before God. He shakes off all of our dirt and makes us look really good so that we can bear fruit. But the most important visual here is that we as branches were made to be productive and bear fruit for him. Did you hear that? We were made to be productive and bear fruit for him. We were created to be in him, connected to the vine, right? In him, and bear fruit that has the essence, the aroma, and the sweet taste of God himself. We do this by being vitally connected. We need to be connected. We need to be connected through prayer and through study of his word. And you know what? As a gardener, he will do everything possible in your life. If you let him, he will do everything possible in your life so that you may bear fruit. Do you believe that? Amen? He will. Listen what we have now. We have divine instruction for point two, and that's in verses 4-6. And it talks about the vital connection. And as I read this, I want you to count how many times he uses remain, which is in NIV. Some of your older Bibles might have the word abide. Count them as we go through this. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. How many times do we see it remain? How many? Six. Somebody wins. I'll have to find another piece of fruit for those people back there. There's six. So if Jesus is saying the word remain six times, don't you think that's important? Don't you think that's really important? And what does remain mean? The definition of remain or abide, it comes from the word, I think, meno or meno. And it occurs 11 times in these 11 verses. But what it means is to settle, to dwell, to remain, to continue in him. That's a vital connection. We have nothing to give outside of him, do we? We need connected to him. Six times in these three verses. Four, five, six. Three verses. Six times. It must be important, right? It must be important. Do you know why it's important? How important it is to be connected to a vine. If I went up to the vine and I snipped off a branch, what happens to that branch? It dies. Why is that? All the nutrients are coming from what? The vine. All the nutrients are coming from the vine. If we're to bear fruit, how can we bear fruit if we're cut off from the vine? Is that possible? You take any plant, you cut it off. If you don't put another source of nutrients, what does it do? It dies. It dies. But what does it mean to remain? I know you're asking that, aren't you? Right. But what does it mean to remain? Remain is, you know, it's said 11 times in these 11 verses. What does it mean? I think my one of my college professors, his name is Rod Whitaker from the Trinity School of Ministry. Here's what his commentary says. Remaining is not simply believing in him, though that is crucial, but includes sharing his thoughts, his emotions, his intentions, and his power. That's where we draw the nutrients from. If we don't draw the nutrients from this, what type of fruit will we bear? So we have a gardener that prunes us, that washes us up, that wants us to be vitally connected to him so that we can bear fruit. If you're not connected to him, you defeat your purpose in life. You absolutely defeat your purpose in life. You die on the vine because you're not connected to his life's blood. You're not connected to his life's blood. How many people know anything about grapevines? What are they good for? What are they good for? Bearing fruit. That's all they're good for. You can't make furniture off of grapevines. You can't make a peg out of grapevines, says Ezekiel 15, 1 through 5. They're only good for one thing, and that's fuel. That means they're only good for throwing in the fire because they can't produce fruit on their own. Its sole purpose and our sole purpose is to bear fruit. And outside of that, we have nothing to give others. We have absolutely nothing to give others. If you want to see a visual of what it means to be connected and draw nutrients, do you know how they color carnations in flower shops? How do they color them? Absolutely. They put food coloring in the water, and that carnation draws from that from that water and it turns blue or red or green. He wants us to be vitally connected so that we draw from Him. So what people see in us is the image of God. The image of God. We do have a divine destiny. We do. Listen to these verses. If you remain, that's 7, in me and my words remain, that's 8, in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. He says, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. Have my words remain in me. If you want to know the character of God, we've got to study His word so that that can so that you can remain in Him. He says here, ask whatever you wish. I love it. Isn't that great? Ask whatever you wish. You can have that new car, right? You can have that, you know, that mansion on the hill, right? You would think, but listen to me and listen to me very carefully. When you remain in Him and you catch His heart and you catch His compassion and you feel His love, you will be starting to ask for different things. You will be starting to ask, please help me bring my sister-in-law to Christ. Lord, please help me reach out to the poor. Lord, please help use me for these purposes. A change of mind, a change of heart, because of that new connectedness in who He is, not who we are. In fulfilling our destiny through Him, not our destiny through ourselves. Malcolm Smith says this, our purpose is to bear fruit and our destiny is to express His life. Isn't that great? Our destiny. Our purpose is to bear fruit and our destiny is to express His life. We can do nothing else because it's what we're created to be. We can't do anything else once we have a life in Christ. If we try that, we come up empty. If we try that, we still have that void. A void that was made for Christ anyways. And the great news is that the branch is totally fulfilled. That void in you is fulfilled in producing grapes for others. How many here has ever seen a tree eat their own fruit? Have you? Have you ever seen a vine eat their own grapes? Right? What's their purpose? What's their purpose? For others. To feed others. To give to others. And you know what? You read this, you say, okay, I'm going to go out and bear fruit. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a notch on my gun. And I'm going to go out and... God doesn't want you to do that. You can't work to bear fruit. You can't work. You got to be. Does that make sense? You work to bear fruit and you're going to die on the vine. You pull in His essence. You study His word. You know who He is. And it will come naturally. We've talked about this before in our men's study. Saying there are times that people come up to us and say, there's something different in your life. And you're saying, I'm just living my life in Christ. You know, what is it? Because people see something that they don't see in others. They see that sweet aroma in Christ in some of us that they don't see in others. They start asking questions now because you've got something that they desire. Something that looks crisp and juicy and sweet and feeds their needs. So what is our destiny? I love the Westminster Confessional. They write a short blurb of who they are and what their destiny is. And listen to this. What's the chief end of man? Listen. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Because when we do glorify God and when we do enjoy Him, people see that and they want a piece of that fruit. Amen? You've seen it. And they want a piece of that. We don't have to grunt and groan to bear fruit. That's not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be in union with Him so as we breathe them in, we can breathe them out and change lives and reach the lost. You're going to ask me, well, Pastor Merle, I'm not ready yet. Pastor Merle, I can't do this. Well, that's right. How many trees out there bear fruit the first year that they're grown? How many? Not many. There's a time and there's a place. But there will be a time in which you will bear fruit by who you are, not by what you do for God. God wants you to get to that point where you can reproduce Him. It may be tomorrow. It may be the next day. You'll know that day because you'll find an immense change in you that people are noticing. And people start asking questions. What's different in you than everybody else? Here's the divine results. As we stay connected, vitally connected. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain, number 9, in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain, 10, in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain, 11, in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What's the very nature of the nutrients that we draw from God? What's the very nature of it in this verse? It's love. It's love. It's true, people are looking for love in all the wrong places. And we're telling them, come to Jesus. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Isn't that beautiful? Now remain in my love. Remain, abide, settle in my love. Does it say, now love me all you can? Does it say that? No. It says, draw from my love. Wrap yourself around my love. That's the love he's talking about. That's a nutrient that's important to make us grow and bear fruit. It's not us loving Him. It's us allowing Him to love us. And when we allow Him to love us and we feel the magnitude of that love, obedience comes easily, doesn't it? Because obedience is a response to that love. Did you hear me? That's very important. Oh, I got to obey God. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, I got to take His love. I got to surround myself with His forgiveness. I got to go into His love as my security blanket because I'm alone. I have that void. I need that. And in that, when you feel that love, you want to walk out and obey everything He says because it's a place of security. It's a place of prosperity of the soul. It's a place where we can most take from Him and eventually bear fruit. Eventually bear fruit. Rod Whitaker also says, Obedience is itself the fruit of remaining in Jesus because it is a characteristic of his love. It's a characteristic of Jesus' love. It will become a characteristic of our love. And it'll be characteristic of us responding to his love. We all want to be fulfilled. Purpose-driven life. Millions and millions of copies. I say go to John 15 if you want to know the purpose of your life. To glorify him and to enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. To be our destiny is to be productive, to give good fruit representative of his love, fruit of the spirits, like love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Gusick, David Gusick says this, this is where we find complete joy. Joy isn't the pleasure of a life of ease. It is the exhilaration of being right with God and consciously walking in his love and care. Isn't that beautiful? That's where the joy comes from. That's where the joy comes from. It's not that pleasure of an easy life. The joy comes from being with him. The joy comes from being connected with him. The joy comes from knowing that he is using you for him. You're okay. All of you, you're okay. Don't take this as a message in which you have to grunt and groan to work for God. Take this as a message that if we are to grow, we need to be vitally connected to him. We have a purpose. We have a destiny. And finally, we bear fruit. We get to that point. We bear fruit. Not grunting and groaning, but we bear fruit because of who we are in Christ. We bear fruit. And what is in the fruit? What is in the core of the fruit? You say that. Seeds! What does that mean? We bear fruit. We bring to people a different outlook on life. We bring to them the essence of who God is. And they take that fruit. And inside of them is planted a seed so that they can be vitally connected to an almighty God. So that they can bear fruit. It's a reproduction of our Christian life. It's a reproduction of how we are in Christians. It's a reproduction of how old Israel was. You know, falling away, running to God. God's given them redemption and salvation. And them having a life in God. That's a cycle we all go through. That's why some of you won't be fully matured to bear the best of the fruit until some years down the road. Some of you are already bearing fruit. But bearing fruit has a quality in it that starts bearing itself over and over again. What do we do as a church? How do we live divinely? I love this verse. Verse 16 that says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. God's been pursuing all of us. We've all been chosen. The question is, have we been vitally connected? Because if we are, we're appointed. We're appointed to go out and bear fruit, not just regular fruit, but fruit that will, that lasts, that's eternal. We as Grace Christian Fellowship Church as a body, also have the same purpose and destiny to bear fruit, to win souls, to change lives. He has chosen us as a body of believers to do that. And he has chosen us to bear fruit that will last for generations, not just inside here. It will last with the people we touch, with the children of the people that we touch through Christ, not on our own. Listen to me, and we can only do that as an individual or as a body of believers by being connected. We can only do that by praying, by worshiping together, by studying together, by fellowshipping together, to know who we are in Christ. Remember, the fruit we bear is not for the branch. It's for those people out the door. And you can't fulfill your destiny without him. You can't do that. Malcolm Smith said this: we were made to image God, not to imitate him. We were made to contain him and to have him express himself through us. Isn't that beautiful? We were made to contain him. And so he can express himself through us. That's why we have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. We have different environments. Because we all were made to express him through us. We are totally fulfilled in producing fruit for others. Fruit that will fill the void in their hearts, and fruit that will last forever. The question I need to ask all of us is, are you vitally connected? Can you be close to the vine so that God can produce fruit through you to change a community, to change a state, to change a nation, and to change the world? This is the purpose-driven life that God has given us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with our hearts out to you. So many times, even in a minister's life, I want to work and work and work for you instead of being like you. I want to do so many things instead of resting and have you fill me up with who you are, so that when I live and I breathe, that I live and I breathe Jesus Christ. Lord, help us all to walk that walk. Help us all to know our purpose and destiny. Help us all to know that we bring to this world something that's fresh and crisp and ripe and desirous and sweet with the aroma of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, to help us to be used to express yourself through us. Help us not to strain and groan and moan, but to be who you made us to be. Not to be human doings, but to be human beings. Dear Lord, we know the vital nutrient is love, and this is love that somebody would give themselves up for their fellow man. What better representation of that than Christ dying on the cross for us while we were yet sinners? Undeserved, unmerited grace on the cross. That love, and this is love, not that we love, but he loved us first and gave his son to appease the wrath of God, to be our propitiation. That is love. That's a nutrient that we have to grab onto. Dear Lord, I ask if there's anybody here that has not heard the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that it was a love relationship that he wants with us, that was he that reached out to us and wrapped his love around us. It's not that we loved him first that caused that love. Salvation is easy. The walk's tough. But to accept Christ, you repent of your sins. And you ask God for forgiveness. And you turn your back on the past. And you walk towards a new future. For any of you that don't know Christ today, I ask you, is God calling you toward your purpose and destiny? Are you ready to accept Christ? Are you ready now to say this simple prayer? Dear Lord, I repent of my sins and I want to follow you forever. Please come into my heart and become myself, my Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask this simple question. Did you make that choice today for the first time? If you did, I just ask you to raise your hand, put it right up and right back down. Thank you. Your hand up and right back down. If God is calling you, thank you. Dear Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you for your words in red letters. It's so great to know that this is coming directly from the throne. So Lord, work in us a great work. Bless this congregation and bless our future. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen.